gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the long and winding road of free speech. It's the road you take home, speaking freely, and eventually you get there. Eventually, we are going to get there. Eventually. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. The operator is standing by. This is Monday morning. We've got Mark Hollett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing, and yourself?
Well, I was just wondering if you've pre-ordered your Nintendo Switch 2, because Americans are having a little bit of a problem. It's retailing at $333 in Japan, but it may well be going for as much as $500 in America, thanks to Trump's trade tariffs. And I was reading my sort of mixture of political and computer game news over the weekend, and I saw this and thought, ooh, I'm not sure whether that's going to make Trump more or less popular. And then when I woke up this morning and saw the financial markets, the huge dip in cryptocurrency, the dip in, well, all sort of stocks and shares, Wall Street sort of on the brink. And I'm kind of wondering whether Trump's tariffs are actually helping normal people or hurting normal people. And I've got a lot of critiques about this, but I want to start by saying, you know, it might sound frivolous, the price of a games console or the price of a tech gadget from Japan or China, but that actually does have an effect on normal people's lives. Now, if you say to me, you know, stocks and shares and Wall Street traders are, you know, having a terrible time of it, and there's people walking out of Wall Street and, you know, going home and, you know, crying themselves to sleep, yeah, I don't really care. I'm not really bothered how this affects the average Wall Street trader or crooked banker. That does not bother me. And one thing I've always hated about governments, and I think I could extend this to Trump to a degree, is governments always seem to care more about how the Wall Street trader or, you know, the guy working at the stock exchange in London is doing than they do about how the normal guy on the street is doing. But here you have actually an odd situation where Trump's policies doesn't seem to just be creating, you know, a flutter at Wall Street. And when I say a flutter, I mean it's gone beyond a flutter, isn't it? The pigeons aren't just sort of spreading their wings and flapping a little bit. They're in a mad flapping panic. But this is also affecting normal people. And I've got a series of critiques about Trump's trade policies and his tariffs. But I've got to say this. I think at this point, Trump has made somewhat of an error. And I think what Trump is trying to do might be noble. It might be noble to want to bring back manufacturing to America. But I don't think that can be done with the stroke of a pen. I don't think that can be done in the short term. I think it's a noble long-term goal. But he's not in here for long enough to rebuild America's manufacturing, to offer genuine alternatives made, developed, manufactured on American soil would be a decade-long project for a number of reasons. And if that was achieved, tariffs then would probably have the desired effect. You see, when you look at a problem like America being an import-based economy, that's something that is fixable, but it's only fixable in the long term. When people talk about free market economies, and the West is meant to be based on free market economies, you've got to realize that a free market economy is a model. It doesn't actually exist. It's built on a set of assumptions that can never, ever be met, that can never, ever come into fruition. Things like, you know, elasticity of supply, freedom of information, price elasticity. Well, none of those things actually can manifest in the real world. There are a series of conditions that are part of a theoretical model. And what Trump is doing is thinking, well, look, if I slap tariffs on everything, prices are going to rise, and all of a sudden everyone's going to have to come to America to create these products, and people will have to buy American. And in some ways he's right, because if a company, say based in China or Japan or Taiwan or Europe, makes product X, and there is a direct substitute for product X made on American soil, that works. A tariff works because people don't buy the foreign import, they buy the home manufactured product. The problem comes when product X is not manufactured in America. At that point, consumers are hit with a very unfair tariff, and this hurts the normal man on the street, and that is my concern. Now, here's the issue. A lot of companies manufacture in China, and a lot of companies have got long-term manufacturing deals and export deals with China. That's a fact. Those can't be just torn up, thrown in the bin overnight and brought back to America. And even if they were torn up and thrown in the bin overnight, would there be the factories and manufacturing capacity in America to make those goods on American soil? The answer's no. You see, creating a fortress economy, which is something Vladimir Putin did very well, takes decades. You have to first ensure that manufacturing capacity is available in your country. You have to make sure that natural resources are procured within your own country, ideally, so that your manufacturing is not based on any form of import, or as few imports as possible, because you want to be able to stand on your own feet. Then when you've done those things, when you've got a steady flow of natural resources, when you've got a steady manufacturing base, you can then turn up the dial on both how much you're manufacturing and how great your tariffs are. Now, in the terms of Putin, the economic sanctions were imposed on him, but by that time he had built what economists have called Fortress Russia. And Fortress Russia is this incredible place which could absorb these sanctions because they turned their country into a manufacturing powerhouse. Now, what Trump is trying to do is turn up the tariffs, but there's no way to ramp up the manufacturing. And this is a problem that Britain would have if it tried to do the same. Like, at one time, we used to have a mining industry, we used to have a coal industry, we used to have a gas industry, and Sheffield, which is not far from where I live, was known as the steel manufacturing hub of the whole world. Sheffield Steel used to be famous the world over. And I actually went to a steel production plant in Sheffield, which is now a museum, which tells you how sad the state of Sheffield Steel is now. And I went to this steel manufacturing plant with my family on sort of a little bit of an educational day trip out. And it showed footage of a government minister arriving at the plant to award the workers with this big award for week on week breaking manufacturing records. And that was done because we supplied our own coal, we supplied our own iron ore, we then produced our own steel, and hundreds of small outlets all over Sheffield made a variety of different goods out of that steel, from things like very expensive hair care products, like the correct scissors that barbers and hairdressers use, which, you know, go for hundreds and hundreds of pounds, down to the knives and forks which we used to have in our canteen at school when we were little. And every knife and fork used to have a stamp on it which said made in Sheffield, Sheffield Steel, and there was pride there. But that's gone now. It's been closed down. So if tomorrow Keir Starmer said, right, we're putting tariffs on all steel products and we're making steel again in Britain, as good as that would sound, and as much as I'd have to concede that Starmer's desire to bring steel manufacturing back to Britain was a good thing, I would say you can't do that. The biggest manufacturing plant in Sheffield is now a museum. To retool that to be a manufacturing plant again would probably take a good 4, maybe 5 years to get people trained to manufacture would probably take people a good year, 2 years. You know, these are skilled industries. And Trump is trying to do all of this. Bear in mind, it's the 7th of April today. He was only inaugurated on the 20th of January. So, you know, he's had, you know, February, March. He's not even been in for 3 months. There's no way he could have rejuvenated. He could have rejuvenated manufacturing in this time. And I feel this sort of let's run before we can walk is only going to cause him and the entire American economy to trip up. But also, I think it's going to hurt normal people on the street. And as I say, I just want to reiterate, I don't care about, you know, your Wall Street brokers. If they're throwing themselves off the tops of banks or, you know, the stock exchange, well, good luck to them. I'm not going to cry myself to sleep over that. But I think Trump is doing something that's going to harm normal people. And I think it shows his naivety in terms of being an economist, in terms of knowing how things work. You know, this isn't one of his TV shows where he says, right, make it happen. And everyone scurries around and they've got 2 days to do a challenge and they come back and then he grades them. And the ones that do worse, you're fired. You know, this isn't a game show. This is real life. And in real life, this isn't a challenge you can complete in weeks or months. It takes years, likely decades. And I think what Trump is trying to do, he's looking at what Putin did and thinking, well, if Putin's done this, if China have effectively done this, why can't America do this? Well, the sad reason is because America had that, gave it up, and became an import-based economy that relied on China. Once you've gone down that route, reversing things is much more difficult. So once you set out on the route of being an exporter, ramping that up is much easier than it is to resurrect an industry that has already flourished, gone into decline, withered, and been sold off. It's very hard to resurrect that. And I think he's going to have problems doing this. My fear is this is going to affect normal people in a very, very negative way. And I think he could well be in a situation, maybe in 6 months to a year, maybe I'm wrong, where he has alienated a lot of normal working class folk. And if the Democrats got their act together, I think they would have. I think they'd have a real sort of golden opportunity here to make out that this is classic, you know, Republican policymaking that hurts the man on the street.
Yeah, I think everything you said is spot on. I completely agree with it. The Vladimir Putin, he embarked on a program of import substitution to sanction-proof the economy. It's had its roots earlier, but it really got into full force right around 2013, 2014, when there were sanctions slapped on for annexing Crimea. It really got into full force. And, you know, he had the and it's not complete. I mean, he's still working on it, but he made enough progress that with the assistance of a good economic relationship with China, he was able to withstand what were intended to be crippling sanctions to bring down the Russian state, to bring down his government. Trump, yeah, I mean, if he was taking a more pragmatic, gradual approach to this, it would probably be a good thing. This is going to cause a lot of inflation. It is going to wind up impacting the regular person. And he's starting to change his tune on it. He's starting to talk about, well, this is for the long run, because, you know, there's no way that people can just dig up factories overseas and move them over here. This can't happen so fast. And in the meantime, there's just going to be a lot of inflation. It's going to hurt the dollar, perhaps permanently. So that it will no longer be the reserve currency, which, frankly, I think is a good thing. I'm glad for that. It's going to it may well destroy this free trade paradigm that the world economy has been in, certainly since the 1990s, you know, when the WTO was established, and the WTO is designed to make it difficult to raise tariffs. The whole idea of the WTO was to have a mechanism that would ratchet down tariffs and other trade barriers. And I'm sure what Trump is doing is in flagrant violation of WTO rules. But here you got the biggest, biggest consuming economy. Is it the biggest economy? Is it the biggest trading economy? Certainly one of the two biggest. And it's just saying, well, who cares about the WTO? Well, if United States says who cares about the WTO, the WTO becomes irrelevant and ceases to have a reason to exist. If you're not going to have a free trade paradigm, what's going to happen to the EU, for instance? Who knows? So this is going to have massive impacts. And some of the impacts I welcome. And one thing that I really welcome is that countries that have been aligned to the United States, that have turned a blind eye as the United States, dominated by a Jewish power structure. The United States just invades countries at will. It bombs countries at will. Nobody, the European allies and South Korea and Japan, they turn a blind eye. If the United States supports Israeli genocide in Palestine, turn a blind eye. But now Trump raises tariffs and everybody's freaking out, which in a way I think is kind of funny. It's also kind of sad that this is what finally got their ire. But with Trump doing this, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to NATO? I was called by a Japanese reporter. We had a really long discussion. And, part of what I was telling him was this is a golden opportunity for Japan to finally have an amicable divorce from the United States. The United States just raised all these tariffs on Japanese products. This would be a great time to say, okay, yeah, I guess it's time that we stand on our own two feet. We don't need your troops in Japan anymore. It would be a great time. Trump would go along with that. It would be a great time for that. One of the things he was saying was there's discussion in Japan of, well, you know, we already have Toyota's got factories in Kentucky or Tennessee. They built factories in America, but if they're going to be raising prices on all of the inputs to them, you know, the parts, even if you buy a Ford, the Ford that is supposedly manufactured in Detroit, the bulk of the inputs, the bulk of the parts are actually coming from overseas, Japan, Korea, Mexico, Canada. Really, the bulk, there's no cars that really are that much made in America. So this is going to cause all prices to go up. But what I welcome is that it is going to cause a massive disruption in the American alliance system, which I welcome. I think this is much needed. The past 30 something years where you've had a unipolar world revolving around America, where America just dictates everything, the rules-based system. Well, what happened to international law? No, we have a rules-based system. Who makes the rules? Oh, we make the rules. This is going to come to an end. Trump is very easy. Like, he's an easy target for people overseas to dislike. The Japanese guy, reporter, was saying that there's a lot of talk in Japan that, okay, well, we don't really even need to sell to America.
Folks, this is Mike Gatti, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network, If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, dixierepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
An easy target for people overseas to dislike. The Japanese guy, reporter, was saying that there's a lot of talk in Japan that, okay, well, we don't really even need to sell to America. There are people all over the world who will be happy to buy our Nintendo Twitches. We don't need to sell to America. 60, 70 years ago, when Japan, had its economic miracle, recovered after World War II, it was based on selling to the American market. When Korea and Taiwan, when they had their economic miracles in the 80s, it was based on selling to the American market. When China started its economic miracle, I was thinking, well, America's not big enough to absorb that. But China wound up selling not just to the American market, but to the whole world market. And the world market is huge. The role of the American market, the share of the American market in the world market, is much smaller than it used to be. And you can actually have an export-based economy even if you're not selling into America. And so I think this is a good thing. I think it's going to be the end of the WTO. It may eventually wind up being bad for the EU, and I think it may be the end of the dollar as the reserve currency. I think it may wind up spelling the end of America's alliances with Japan, maybe South Korea. And these are things that I think are going to be, in the long run, be good for the American people. But they're going to be bad for the Jewish power structure. And couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. So I'll kick it back to you, Mark.
This is where I sit on this, and I've got to say, I'm going to not counter signal you, but I am going to talk about how this is going to affect normal people. Now, at the weekend, we went out, and we don't often eat out, but we had a really busy day. And after this busy day, we were sort of like, well, what are we going to have for tea? And the wife was just like, oh, should we nip to McDonald's? And, oh, go on then. Now, we're not at McDonald's for ages, but the price of a Happy Meal now is $3.99. Historically, Happy Meals were under £2. So for a kid's chips, drink, and chicken nuggets, it's now £4. It's $3.99. Okay? Now, you might be thinking, well, that's still not a lot of money, but it represents an increase in price by 100%. It represents a 100% increase in price, which, however you cut it, is a lot of money. You know, when you're talking about a 100% increase in price, that's a lot of money. Now, it's the same for the adult meal. The adult meals used to be sort of about £3 to £3.50. So you could go into McDonald's and two adults and a child would eat for less than £10. Now the bill comes to around £19. Okay? That's a huge increase in price. And I'm using McDonald's because McDonald's is a good indicator of normal prices, of something that people would eat on a day-to-day basis, or something that people would buy on a day-to-day basis. And that's the important thing, and I'll explain why. Inflation has been a lot higher in real terms than what you see marked on pieces of paper or government reports. And that's because inflation is calculated based on a basket of goods. And that basket of goods is meant to be sort of a vertical size, a cross-section of things that you might buy. So it includes things like fruit, vegetables, McDonald's, a can of Coke, kettle, a toaster, a flat panel, TV, and maybe a game for your Nintendo Switch. Now, let me explain something here. When you see the price of an original Nintendo Switch game, it was £40. Now, when I started gaming when I was 8, and I'm 44 now, the price of a Nintendo Entertainment System game was somewhere between £40 and £50. So, and a Nintendo Switch game now is somewhere between £40 and £50. So for over a decade, what we've seen, in fact, for more than a lot more than a decade, for 3.5 decades, we've seen computer game prices pretty much in the £40 to £50 bracket. And TVs have actually reduced in price. I remember when I was a young lad, if you went into a shop and you wanted a big, you know, one of those big old CRT TVs, they were expensive, they were heavy, they were cumbersome, and it was a big decision buying one of those. Last time I bought a TV, you could buy, above mid-range TV for £400 to £500. It was a lot cheaper than it used to be. And this informs you of something, that it's actually been technology prices that have lowered the rate of inflation. Because when you take that vertical slice, that, you know, random basket of goods that they calculate inflation from, they're including things that aren't daily purchases. So in the past, you know, if your apples had gone up by 50%, but a TV had gone down by 50%, that would skew things and make it look like inflation wasn't as bad. If your computer games had remained at between £40 and £50 for the last...
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, Fact Bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yogavaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
That would skew things and make it look like inflation wasn't as bad. If your computer games had remained at between £40 and £50 for the last, you know, 3.5 decades, well, that had helped rein in inflation. But what you're seeing now is not only a rise in things that you actually purchase on a day-to-day basis, because you don't buy a computer game or a flat panel TV on a day-to-day basis. And that's why a lot of people have always criticized the inflation rate published by the government, because it's this sort of basket of imaginary goods. But when you go to Tesco's, you don't buy a flat screen TV every time. You don't buy a Nintendo game every time you go to Tesco's. You just don't. But you do buy apples and Coke. You know, you don't buy a game every week. But you might go to McDonald's every week or every fortnight, you know, with the kids for a treat. And that's why people have always criticized the rate of inflation. But what you're seeing here now is tariffs on these electrical goods, on these, imports from China and Japan. And you're also seeing these other goods that have been quietly going up, you know, your butter, your bacon, your bread, your can of cola, you know, your trip to McDonald's. And all of a sudden, I think this is going to cause the inflation rate to skyrocket like it never has before. And I think that is going to cause massive instability. Now, that might be a good thing, because there's probably some people out there going, but Mark, isn't that what we need? Don't we want, you know, don't we want some big collapse? Don't we want, you know, everything to, you know, go down? Isn't that what we've always wanted? You know, don't we need a little bit of hardship to wake the people up from their slumber? And the answer to that may well be yes. The answer might well be that, yes, we do need a little bit of discomfort from people, you know, in order to get them to, wake up from their slumber. But it's going to be very uncomfortable. And the few things that people had which bucked the trend of inflation are now going to have these massive tariffs on them. How is that going to affect those people? But not only that, how is that going to affect other countries that do manufacture? And I think Trump could well push us into a global recession. Now, the question is that a bad thing? And that is a you know, important question. Is that a bad thing? You know, would a global recession actually go on to help nationalist organizations? Would a global recession be something that left a lot of people saying, hey, you know, this is all good because, you know, when it comes down to it, we need things shaking up a little bit? Well, the answer is maybe. Maybe that's what we're going to see. Maybe we're going to see now something actually rattling the world in a way it hasn't been rattled since maybe, you know, the 1930s. And we could from that see some form of major change. However, when you're talking like this and when you're talking about that kind of major change, you are also talking about huge instability, and you're actually talking about normal people facing genuine hardship. And I'm not really sure how that's going to work out. And when these things happen, there are also political ramifications. Now, there's a lot of nationalists out there who for many, many years have fantasized over this kind of thing. And I don't think I'm wrong saying that. I think we can all agree that there are nationalists out there who fantasize about when the big collapse comes, you know, it's going to be the time that people rise up and the world will change. And you've heard it all before. But it's all well and good saying that. But there is a reality to this. There is a reality for normal people. And there's also something else which is quite uncomfortable. Whenever you do actually have a big change, whenever you do have some sort of gigantic change like this, it does lead to instability. Now, if you had instability in, say, the 1930s, which they did in numerous countries, and before that, obviously, in Europe after the First World War, those countries were ruled by governments that didn't have an iron grasp on their people. You know, places like France, Germany, Italy, to a lesser degree, Britain, it had its own fascist movement, were all countries where the government at different times looked unstable and weak. And some of these governments were toppled because they didn't have that grasp on the dissemination of information, nor did they have a surveillance state like we have today. And finally, they did not have the kind of militarized police force and ability to use force that governments have today. And my big worry is this: if Trump does destabilize the world, and if we do see major poverty, if we do see major instability in multiracial countries, because you've got to remember, we're not living in homogenous nations anymore. So this isn't like it was in, say, the 1930s or 40s, where, look, let's all gather together, let's pull in, let's make it work. You know, the people living down our street are people that our families have known for generations. You know, my mum lives around the corner, my wife's parents live around the other corner. You know, my brothers and sisters are in the same little village. And all the people we know are families that have been intertwined for generations. We're seeing people who barely know their neighbours, and there are hostile migrant groups within our countries. Are we going to fare well? And is the government going to allow things to break down? Or would instability lead to a raft of new emergency measures that were akin to COVID, where you end up with lockdowns, where you end up with curfews, where you end up with a surveillance state being used to oppress people who now have no financial buying power? And I don't think what I'm saying is completely, you know, talking like this, it sounds like a horrible dystopian nightmare, but I don't think we're far off that kind of thing. And I do believe that if we saw the kind of instability that we've seen in the past, it would not be as easy for normal people to say, to hell with this, to hell with it all, we're rising up, we've had enough, and we are going down a road of revolution. Yeah. And if that was to happen, and if there were communities to rise up, I can tell you this, Patrick, and all your listeners, this is very important.
the communities that would come together, that would look after each other, that would protect their own interests and fight as a group, would most likely be ethnic minority communities. And there's a couple in Britain, specifically the Muslims and obviously the Jews, that have geographically clustered and already have insular protective societies. And the Muslims especially own massive parts now of towns and cities. I can see them coming out of something like this stronger and with more power. Would whites? I'm skeptical.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with all of that. If Trump were asking me what he should do with about tariffs, I'd say you want to go be gradual. You want to be strategic. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew. But he doesn't ask me for my advice. So he looks at Vietnam and says, oh, wow, they've got this trade surplus with us. They're screwing us over. We're going to slap a 35% on. Oh, Cambodia. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. And he's just slapping huge tariffs on without regard to the contents of the trade or anything else. And so he's not asking me for my advice. I wouldn't recommend he do this, but he's doing it. And there are all sorts of risks. You went over all the risks of things, or maybe not all the risks, but a lot of the risks, which, and that's all true. It's all true. I was talking about potential silver lining. I can't help it. He's doing these tariffs. It looks like they're going to happen. Although it's possible that the Supreme Court might block them. That type of thing could happen. It's happened before. But if they go ahead, you know, it's not because I supported them. He's doing them, there will be a lot of risks, but there is some potential silver lining, and the types of things I mentioned. You could wind up with 1930s style competitive tariff hiking. That could happen, but I think what may well happen. Alternatively, what may happen is you may just get a alternative economic and trade order that will revolve around BRICS, revolve around China and the China-Russia and the various institutions that China and Russia have been putting together. That's the rosy scenario. That's the best case scenario. But you mentioned things like...
Just put in there just two seconds.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Because you've raised a point that I hadn't even thought of. What you're really saying here then, Patrick, is what you could actually see as the net effect of this is fundamentally the BRICS countries becoming ever stronger out of this and America becoming weaker.
Yeah. Which that would be a good thing. And that, you know, that's what I'm crossing my fingers and hoping will come out of this, because, I used to hope that the American people were going to rise up, and I don't think so. And, you know, you said that in Britain, you can see these other communities as being much more likely to emerge from this stronger and more, you know, consolidated than what Europeans. And I think that's right. And I look at America and, the white population in America is older, and the Americans in general, can I say this? Are they too fat and too gay and too strung out on drugs to be able to come together and rise up? Yeah, maybe they are. There's been, for various reasons, the BRICS have been on the rise. They've been the BRICS and the associated organizations, it's not so much that they're anti-American. It's just that they're doing end run around America. It's not that they're trying to oppose America or destroy America. It's just that they're trying to do an end run around American dictate. And I think so far, that's a reason to be hopeful. On the other side, you know, the worst case scenario is you get a lot of tension, you get a lot of recession, instability that winds up leading to international conflict, World War III, and an end of civilization. That's the downside.
Well, that is an incredibly grim downside, and I think this is the problem with Donald Trump. he isn't the man who should be doing things like this. And I've discussed this on other shows. I actually had Ron Unz on my show the other week. And
Did you have Ron Unz?
Yeah, I did. It was a good show.
You got to hook me up with – and David. I mean, we're giant Ron Unz fans. So okay, that's good.
Yeah, I'll do that after the show.
Congratulations.
Ron Unz came on my show, and he made I've lost my train of thought now. He made an amazing point, but I've forgotten which point he made. Because
he makes amazing points.
He did make an amazing point, and it was about Trump. And we were talking about how Trump appoints people. And he was saying that Trump will appoint somebody to an office not because they're good at what they do, but because they had a big podcast, which was always really nice to him and really, really kissed up to him in the run-up to the election. So you'll have somebody like Dan Bongino, who I hadn't ever heard of outside of his show on Rumble. And I'm not saying it's a bad show. I'm not saying people shouldn't have heard of him. I'm not trying to be negative about Dan because I don't know him. But when I hear him being sort of sworn in as the deputy lead at the FBI, and the thing he seems to have been most famous for is basically running a show on Rumble. You're like, yeah, is that the right man for the job?
I think he might even be a part owner of Rumble or something.
Well, but look, as I say, I've got nothing against Dan. And look, he's got a very successful show. I'm sure he's a really nice guy. But I looked at that and I was like, that's an interesting pick, you know, based on Dan's pedigree. And then you look at other people that Trump has selected like that. Obviously, the big obvious one being Elon Musk. And you look at how he picks these people. And I'm not saying we should go back to the establishment way of picking people who are part of the establishment, et cetera, et cetera. But if you said to me, look, Mark, you need to pick somebody to be, you know, your organization, Patriotic Alternative, is going to get a £5 million donation tomorrow. And you're going to need a proper finance director to manage that, ensure it's spent in the right way, to make the right investments, etc. I'd have to say, well, look, I want somebody I can trust. I want somebody from within the organization. I want somebody who's been good to me, and I want to repay that sort of kindness by putting them in charge of something important. But this is the big but. That person would have to be someone who knew all about finance. So there's no point me saying, right, we're getting this person in who's a great friend of mine, who's, you know, been so kind to me, et cetera, et cetera. But they know nothing whatsoever. They've never worked in that particular field. Because at that point, you're kind of thinking to yourself, well, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Are we actually benefiting here? Are we actually benefiting here? As I say, I'm not saying Dan Bongino specifically is bad for the role, but he was somebody who shocked me. And I sometimes wonder whether a lot of what Trump does is done on whim and a wing and a prayer rather than being done on the basis of this is actually the right thing and these are the right people for the job who are actually experts. And I know that in today's world, saying that people are experts is something that's quite maligned because of all of the COVID stuff and like trust the science, bro, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm not trying to go down that road. But what I am saying is, yeah, it's all well and good, you know, employing your friend to do the job. It's like fixing your car. I'd much rather get my friend to fix my car than get somebody else I've never met before. I'd love to make sure that the guy I put my money in his hands was a guy that I liked. But I would want the guy fixing my car, who is my friend, to know something about fixing cars. Do you see what I mean? Otherwise, you're risking yourself. You know, I'm not going to say, well, look, I've got 300 quid here to have my car fixed and I want my best mate to do it, but my best mate's a baker. He's never fixed a car in his life. Because at that point, you're kind of letting yourself down. But Trump's not just letting himself down. He's letting down an entire country of people who rely on him to make the right decisions. And I feel that with this, you know, economic situation, he's not doing the right thing. And I don't think he's appointing the right people. And the other problem with Trump, and this is going to sound probably even harsher, is I think that anybody who was to criticize him in the way that we're doing in his inner circle he would be sacked. It's very much, I've said this before, it's very much a Nero's court. And my issue, and one of my issues with Trump, is I don't think you would ever actually get a situation where anybody in that inner circle would say the right thing to him, you know, or would say that, well, to him it'd be the wrong thing, but to us it'd be the right thing, would say to him, look, you're making bad decisions here, my friend. You know, this is not the decision that you should be making. We need to fix something. I think if you said that to Donald Trump, I think you may well get told, well, you know, you're out on your ear, Sonny. I don't want anyone speaking to me like this. And I don't think that's the...
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really... bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
I think if you said that to Donald Trump, I think you may well get told, well, you know, you're out on your ear, Sonny. I don't want anyone speaking to me like this. And I don't think those are the actions of a strong leader. I think those are the actions of a weak leader. They're the actions of a man who, unfortunately, has a very, very fragile ego. And that fragile ego is something that people are very wary of denting. And if you do dent it, you know what I'm saying is sometimes you need a good friend sat by you. Now, it's like when you see two people out in a bar, two friends. If one of these guys goes back, you know, comes back from the toilet and, you know, they sit down at the table and they've got a big bit of snot hanging from their nose because they've blown their nose, but they haven't noticed they've got a big bit of snot hanging down. you know, if their friend is a real friend, they'll tell them the uncomfortable truth. They'll say, mate, grab your nose, you've got a big bit of snot hanging down. Oh, cheers, mate. You know, because it's better to actually be told that information. But if the guy with the snot hanging from his nose is like the big all-powerful Don that everyone fears, everyone's sort of looking at the ground and sort of like giving each other the side eye, like, who's going to tell him he's got the snot hanging from his nose? Not me, mate, because what if he knocks me out? What if he's the guy paying for the drinks? What if he doesn't pay for this round? Oh, God. So everyone sits there uncomfortably as the big bit of snot hangs from his nose, making him look like an idiot. And that'll tell you that his friends aren't real friends and that the people around him fear him. And yeah, you could say it's a good thing for a leader to be feared. It, you know, I think it's Machiavelli who said, you know, it's great to be loved, but it's even better to be feared. But the fact is, Trump runs that kind of Nero's court where I don't think anyone would dare tell him that he's got snot hanging from his nose. And I think these tariffs are potentially a big ball of snot hanging from Trump's nose. And everyone's kind of looking at the ground uncomfortably, kicking their feet, not telling him what the situation is. And based on that, I think we've sort of hit this point where we're identifying this absolutely critical flaw. And everyone has flaws, but to have such a critical flaw when you're, you know, technically in a position that he's, well, he's in the position, in a position that's historically seen as the position of the most important, most powerful man in the world, probably not good to be there. And no one's able to tell you when you're making a mistake. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think this has been a really fun and good discussion about the tariffs. I should have said this at the beginning of the show. On Friday, I tried to do a show about the tariffs. I was really tired. I hadn't slept for a long time, and it just wasn't like halfway through, I just gave up and I played a bunch of silly songs for the rest of the show. And I wasn't drunk. I haven't had a drink for 45 years. People are going to think I was drunk. I wasn't drunk. I was just sleepy. But I think this has been a really good show, really fun show. And I appreciate your analysis of this. And how can people find your great work, and what are you up to this week?
Well, you can find me where you can always find me, Patrick. I'm on Odyssey, Rumble, DLive, BitChute, and you can also find me on Telegram and Gab. I'm doing all the things I usually do. I'm doing my shows. I'm trying to keep my head above water, trying to stay relevant in this ever-shifting world of crazy politics. So if anyone wants to help me out by coming and watching me and seeing what I do, that would be really appreciated. I've got the great Mike Enoch joining me on Wednesday for Patriotic Weekly Review. So Mike always brings a great crowd with him, and if you want to come along and hear what he's got to say, again, that would be really, really appreciated. And I just want to thank you for having me on, Patrick. I've really enjoyed it, and I've got to say, I'm going to give this one a share. If you send me the details of the show afterwards, I'll give this a share. It's been one of those shows I've really, really enjoyed.
I'll definitely do that, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because